There was once a yid named Reb Bero, and he got so sick, and he has to go to the doctor, and his wife takes him to the doctor, and the doctor checks him out and looks all around, opens his mouth, looks inside. Oi, you're very sick. Take this medicine. He takes the medicine, and he takes pills, and he takes different kinds of things. They has to drink, and he has to rub. It does not help. He got worse and worse. Of course, Reb Bero davened to Hashem, and he said Tehillim, and he gave tzedakah. It still was not helping. And he says to his wife, I have to go and lay in bed. I'm so sick. Please, I want to send you to my Rebbe, Reb Yisrael der Ruziner of Ruzin, a great Halakha tzaddik. Reb Yisrael of Ruzin was his Rebbe. Please go ask my Rebbe for a bracha. And his wife said, but you went to doctors. You went to doctors. You're sick. What's a rabbi going to help you? He doesn't know how to be a doctor. He's a rabbi who sits and learns the Torah. No, you don't understand. He's a Halakha tzaddik. It's higher than a doctor even. Doctors don't make you well by themselves. Doctors have to have the koyak from Hashem. And of course, that comes through Malach Refoyo. And when you go to the doctor's office, also Malach Refoyo is over there. And when you go and take medicine, Malach Refoyo is also helping the medicine to work. But everything does not come from even Malach Refoyo, it comes from Hashem. And sometimes, if you go to the doctor and it's not helping, and you're going to Malach Refoyo with the medicines, and that's not helping, sometimes you just have to go straight to the Halakha Tzaddik, who's so close to Hashem, higher than the doctor, and higher than Malach Refoyo. And his wife says, I don't believe in all that. I don't know. I don't know if that's really true. I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? This is a thing we didn't believe in. Amunah Tzaddikim. If you don't believe in it, it's only because the Eitz Hara is making shtick inside of you. And he's making coverings over your heart so you don't feel that you believe it. Of course you believe it. Every Yid believes that. Every Yid believes all the things the Rambam says to believe in. Please go to the Halakha Ruziner. And I don't want to go alone. Okay, you know what? I don't want you to travel alone either. Stop by my good friend, Reb Baruch. And maybe his wife will go along with you. Okay. She packs up her stuff. She says goodbye to the kiddies. And she travels now to the town of Reb Baruch, who is the friend of Reb Bero. And she knocks on the door. As she knocks on the door, it almost falls apart because they were very poor and the door was made out of a few boards and sticks and it was almost ready to fall apart. They open the door for her. She goes in and she sees this very poor family, Reb Baruch's family. The kiddies are going, some of them without shoes and some with one shoe. You know, there were such families, poor families, that in the winter like today when there's snow outside, sometimes the kids had to stay home because they did not have shoes. And I heard of one family with six kids that the kids had to share one pair of shoes. So five of them stayed home and one of them went outside with the shoes. And when that turn was over, another kid got the shoes to go outside and the other kid would stay home. They shared one pair of shoes for all of these kids. That's how poor they were. They were such poor people. Rahman al-Etzlan, Hashem Yishmeinu. And Reb Baruch's family was so poor, the kiddies are running around with torn clothes and the table is about to fall apart and there's cracks in the walls and holes in the ceiling. And there's wind blowing through. And she sees Reb Baruch and his wife, and they're worried. Reb Baruch is walking back and forth. And his wife was saying to him, and he's saying, oy vey, oy vey, oy vey. I'm so worried. Oy, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous and worried. And all of a sudden they see their friend, Ribeiro's wife, had come in. Hey, what's wrong? How come you're so worried? Because very soon I have to pay the oh, I'm so nervous, I can't even say the word. The porets. I have to pay the porets his rent. And I don't have any money. I don't have the money yet. I've been trying to get the money, but I can't get it. And if the porets doesn't get his rent, he's going to throw me in the jail. Under his castle is a dungeon way down. And if he doesn't get his money, I owe him so much money. Oh, I'm so nervous. I need to get the money. And his wife was saying to him, she says, but Baruch, why don't you go to a tzaddik for a bracha? No, oh, come on, what's an old rabbi going to do for me? I need money. The rabbi himself doesn't have a lot of money. These rabbis, you know, they said learn. They're not making money. No, he'll give you a bracha. Money doesn't come from people. It comes from Hashem. Well, I need money. I have to go around and look. Maybe there's another place to go. And all of a sudden, they say to Reb Beryl's wife, what brings you here to our house? We're sorry that you have to come into this. Well, she says, my husband's very sick, Nebuch, and he asked me to go to his Rebbe, the Rebbe Yisrael of Ruzhin, and I'm traveling there. I don't want to go by myself, so I wanted to find out if maybe Baruch, if your wife, Mrs. Baruch, if she can go with me, that I shouldn't go by myself. And all of a sudden, she got very excited. Oh, if I go together with Beryl's wife, then I could ask a bracha for you to get money to pay the porets. And so the two ladies now travel to Ruzhin, and finally they come to the shul of the Ruzhiner, and they're allowed in to the waiting place where people wait to see the Halakha Tzaddik, and they go to the ladies' section over there. And the Gabbai says, when you go into the tzaddik, you don't talk, but you give him a tzettel, a kvittel, and you write out your problem on the piece of paper. So he gave each one a piece of paper and a pen or a feather or however they wrote in those days. And each one put the problem on the paper in writing. Mrs. Ribeiro writes that my husband is very sick, and he needs a refuah shlema. Please, she is asking from the Halakha Ruzhiner to daven for her husband to have a refuah shlema. And Mrs. Reb Baruch is writing a tzettel. We need so much money to pay the parets, or else we're going to be in big trouble. Please daven to Hashem that we should have enough money to pay the parets. And as the women were writing, they were sitting there, and all of a sudden, just as they finished writing the kvittel, the Gabbai came into the room all of a sudden, and he says, it's time to go to the Halakha Ruzhiner. And as he walked in, the window was open, and the door opened, and all of a sudden a big wind blew into the room, and it blew the tzetlach off the table, and they fell down. And the two women very quickly bent down to pick up the tzetlach because they had to go right now to see the Rebbe. It was time to go. But they didn't notice that their tzetlach got mixed up, and each one picked up the wrong tzetl. Mrs. Reb Beryl picked up Mrs. Reb Baruch's tzetl, and Mrs. Reb Baruch picked up Mrs. Reb Beryl's tzetl, and they got it mixed up, and they didn't look. And now each one is holding the other tzettel, and they go into the Rebbe. The first one, Kenalach, Miss Beryl's wife, whose husband was very sick, she goes to the Rebbe and she gives him the tzettel. Please, Rebbe, we need money to pay the parets. Please help that we should have money to pay the parets. And the Rebbe said, Hashem should help. Everything will be okay. Now, Reb Beryl's wife thought to herself, the Rebbe is saying that my husband will be okay, he'll have a refuah shlema. Really, he was talking about the other tzetel. But she had in her mind, she'll go home and tell her husband, the Rebbe said everything will be okay. Nothing, no problem. And she went out. And now Reb Baruch's wife goes with, and her husband needs the money. And she gives the tzetel, my husband is very sick. He has a terrible sickness that the doctors have done all kinds of things, and he needs her for a shlema. And the Rebbe looked at her tzetel and said, when you go home, tell your husband to put on the hot glass jars. Now, kenalach, the hot glass jars is a certain treatment for sickness, which I'll tell you about in a minute. And because she believes so strongly in tzaddikim, and we know that we don't always understand the things that a tzaddik says, just like Hashem. We don't understand all the time the things that Hashem says, but we do them anyway, nasa v'nishma, and that's the same way we have towards a tzaddik. So even though it didn't make any sense to her, but if that's what the Rebbe said, it means that's what's going to be the main thing to help. And so she said, oh, thank you so much. And she had in her mind to go home and tell her husband to make the hot glass jars. And he's the one who needs the money. Shh. Now, what's the hot glass jars? Certain sicknesses, very bad sicknesses, they believed that you had to let out some of the blood. And the way they did it, at least one of the ways they did it, was they would take a glass jar, put it in the fire, make it very, very hot, and they would put it on the person's skin, and as soon as it touched the skin, it started to like pull at the skin and make a big, big red boo-boo. And in the middle of that boo-boo, some of the blood would come out, and this is what they did all over the person's body, and they somehow, either they believed or it really worked, it must have been some kind of a real thing. This was a treatment for certain kinds of sicknesses, the hot glass jars. And so both women now came out from the Rebbe, and they're going home to their husbands to tell them what the Rebbe said. Beryl's wife got home. Her husband was very sick. He says, what did the Rebbe say? What did the Rebbe say? The Rebbe said everything is going to be fine. Hashem will help. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Everything is going to be fine. And he thought that to mean he's going to have a refuah shlema. He doesn't have to do anything. The Rebbe said everything will be okay. Reb Baruch's wife came home. And her husband is nervous about the money. Because it's almost the time that he has to go to the Paretz. And he does not have a penny, and he owes the Poretz so many thousands of rubles. And remember, Reb Baruch did not believe strongly in tzaddikim and their brachas and their halakhite, but his wife did. And she comes in, she's all excited. Baruch, I was by the halak erusha there, and I gave him the tzetel, and I told him about our problem, and he answered me what to do. And if we do that, everything is going to be okay. And Baruch says, you mean the rabbi said a way for me to get a whole bunch of rubles, thousands of rubles that I need? He told me how to get the money? No, 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 he said something else, but I'm sure that that's going to help. Well, what do you mean? I need the money. What did he say to do? He said to take the hot glass jars and put it all over your skin. What? What are you talking about? You must be tired from the traveling, and maybe you're dreaming, maybe you're sleepwalking, maybe you're having a dream on your feet. I'm speaking about one thing, and you're talking about something else. I need the money. What did the rabbi say to do? He said, we take the glass jars and we put them in the fire, and we put them on your skin. He says, I don't understand you. Are you joking with me? This is serious. You're talking to me like I'm very sick and I need some kind of a treatment from the glass jars. And I need the money. So what are you telling me? No, no, no. That's what the Rebbe said. That's what we have to do. And Kenelach, his wife, because she believes so strongly in Tzaddikim, she takes it in the way of Na'aseh V'Nishma. First we do, even though we don't understand at all. Later on we understand. The main thing is to do what the Tzaddik said. But because he did not believe, he took it with his understanding and it didn't make any sense at all. And he says, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense at all. I'm not going to do it. And the next day was already the day that he owes the money to the Poritz. And that night he was so nervous. He was so nervous he could hardly sleep. And early in the morning he got an idea to go out to someone that lived in the forest. There was somebody that lived in the forest, and he thought maybe this man will have money to lend him. And early in the morning he went out to the forest, and it so happened that the Poritz himself was taking an early morning drive in his wagon together with his wife, because it's a nice time in the morning to go through the forest. Everything is nice and fresh, and the birdies are singing and tweeting away. And he sees Baruch all of a sudden walking on the road, and the Poritz looks out the window and he says, "Aha! It's you! You owe me the money. Pay it right now. Today is the day you owe me the money. Give me the money now. I want my thousands of rubles that you owe me." Baruch says, "Wait, the day just began. I'm going in the forest. There's a man that lives there. I'm trying to get the money from him. I've been trying very hard. I'm very sorry I can't pay you yet. But please, it's only just one day, this whole day. Maybe by the end of the day, I'll have the money for you." He says, "What do you mean, maybe? I'm not giving you any chances. Today is the day and that's it. And if not, you're going into the dungeon. And you and your whole family I'll throw in the dungeon. Don't give me any excuses." And Baruch goes to the man in the forest. I forgot to tell you something. The Poritz's wife, she happened to be a pretty okay lady for being a Poritz's wife. And she says to her husband, "Hey, don't scream at him." Well, his wife says, "Well, you see, the man is trying. Don't speak so not nicely to him. I mean, you have to be nice to him." And the Poritz said, "Look, all the time he tries to get excuses and extra time. He has to pay me. He has to come to the castle today to pay me." Baruch went to the man in the forest. He did not have the money. And he came home. And he's so nervous, he doesn't know what to do. His wife says, "Let's make the hot glass jars." Well, he had no choice, even though it didn't make any sense. They took down the glass jars, they made a fire, and they put the hot glass jars. They put the glass jars in the fire, they made it burning hot, and they started putting it on his skin, and it made all these very big red boo-boos all over him, which, of course, this was some kind of a refuah they had. Don't ask me to explain it. Next time you go to the doctor, maybe he could explain it to you, maybe not, I don't know. Until Baruch is covered with big red boo-boos. And it hurt, and he's in bed. And he's screaming for two reasons now. One reason, it hurt. Another reason, he's afraid of the Poritz. And actually three reasons, because the whole thing doesn't make sense. Why do you have to do this? All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. "I'm the messenger of the Poritz. It's time to come to pay the money. The Poritz says you have to come now to the castle with the money." And he hears inside the house, "What's that noise? What's that noise?" Well, they open the door for him. He comes in and he sees Baruch in bed covered with red boo-boos. What happened to him? Oh, that looks very strange, all those boo-boos. But he saw that this man is very, very in pain, but the poet said he has to bring him to the castle no matter what. So he came with other guards, and he says, lift up the bed, and we're going to carry him to the castle in the bed. And they came in, and they picked up the bed, and they're carrying him in the bed with his pajamas through the street, and he's going, covered with his red boo-boos. And they carry him all the way to the castle. And they bring him to the castle, and the poet is having supper in the big fancy dining room with his wife. And all of a sudden he hears the doors open. Oh, it must be that Jew with his rent that he owes me all of those rubles. And he's going to come to pay me. Then he hears all the screaming. What's that noise? What is that strange noise that I hear screaming? And the guards tell him that this Reb Baruch, they had to bring him in bed and pajamas through the streets, and he's covered with boo-boos from his head to his toes, and even on his nose. And the poet says, what is this, some kind of an excuse? I saw him this morning. He looked perfectly fine. Maybe it's some kind of a trick or something. Maybe he's trying to get out of paying me the rent. Bring him in. And now they bring in the bed with Reb Baruch and pajamas covered with boo-boos into the dining room of the poets. And he's screaming, And the pirates get scared. What happened to him? And his wife, now we told you his wife wasn't such a terrible lady, being the pirates' wife. We're not saying she was too good, but she wasn't the most terrible thing in the world. She says, hey, look what happened to him. You could figure it out yourself. He must have gone to the forest, and he borrowed all that money, because he has to pay you. And probably in the forest was robbers. And the robbers caught him with the money, and he didn't want to give it up because he wants to pay you, and they wanted to get the money. And finally, probably, they beat him up, and they made boo-boos all over him. And she starts screaming at her husband, hey, it's your fault. Hey, you're so mean. You don't give him a few extra days. It's your fault. Look what you did to him. Hey, it's your fault he's covered with boo-boos. Look at, because you made him get the money in the forest. A person doesn't go in the forest to get money. It's dangerous. But he risked his life to pay you. And look, he's all full of boo-boos. And she starts screaming at her husband, and he can't stand listening to her screaming. And she says, do something to help the poor man. And finally he says, okay. Baruch, I'm going to let you off that this year you don't have to pay. And then she says, yeah, but he has to get healed. He'll probably be worried about next year. He says, okay, for 3 years, you don't have to pay me a penny. And they carried him home in the bed with the pajamas. And now he was, Baruch Hashem, fine, because first of all, he wasn't scared. He didn't have to pay the money. Now for 3 years, he doesn't have to pay a penny. And of course, from then on, he became a big chassid of Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin. Okay, now we learned that Hashem wants us to work for something and not get it for free. We should be ready for something and not get it when we're not ready. We should make ourselves a keli, which means that we're ready for what Hashem gives us. Because if we get it for free without being ready, without being a keli, that's not the way Hashem wants it, and we're not going to appreciate it. Now, there's a very interesting story I want you to hear. One time, a person came to the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. This man needed a bracha. This man needed help. And he wanted the Rebbe Rashab to give him a bracha for something, whatever it was. He had a problem. He needed a special help in the problem. And he went into the Rebbe Rashab. He told him what the problem was. He said, the Rebbe, please help me. Please help me from this problem. Nothing is helping. I've tried everything. Please give me a bracha that I should somehow be able to take care of the problem. The Rebbe looked at him and he said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do for you. I'm sorry. And the man went out from the Rebbe, And now he's crying. He's going down the street, he's crying like a baby, crying his eyes out. Now, the Rebbe had a brother, Reb Zalman Arayn, who was a year older. And there are different stories about the Rebbe and Reb Zalman Arayn, the two brothers. And this is, of course, when they're older. The Rebbe was already the Rebbe. And Reb Zalman Arayn, they call him the Raza, he saw this man walking away from the shul of the Rebbe Rashab, and he's crying like a baby. And he goes over to the man and he says, Reb Yid, what's wrong? You look like something terrible happened. What could possibly have happened to you? Maybe I could help you. He says, nobody could help me. Nobody in the world could help me. If the Rebbe can't help me, nobody could help me. He says, what do you mean? You mean you went to the Rebbe? You went to the Rebbe Rashab? Yeah, I asked for a bracha for my problem. And the Rebbe said he couldn't help me. He says he couldn't do anything for me. Oh, now there's nobody in the world that can help me. Now, the Raza, Rabbi Zalman Arayn, could not believe that a person goes to his brother, the Rebbe, for a bracha, and the Rebbe turns him away without helping him. Never heard of it. And he went over to his brother, the Rebbe Rashab. He went into his room, and he says, Rebbe, it's his brother, but he calls him Rebbe. A Yid was just here. He asked you for a bracha. How could it be you couldn't help him? The Rebbe said, where did you see him? I saw him walking down the street. He was crying his eyes out like a baby. I thought the most terrible thing had happened to him. And then he said, he came to you for a bracha. You couldn't help him. How could it be you couldn't help him? The Rebbe said, bring him back. The Raza ran after the man. He said, the Rebbe wants to see you again. Come back. He comes back to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe now gave him a bracha, and he said, don't worry, you're going to take care of your problem, and I give you a bracha, that everything should be okay. And sure enough, everything worked out, and everything was okay. Now, the Raza asked his brother, I don't understand. The first time he came to you, and you said you couldn't help him. And next time he came to you, you gave him a bracha, and you helped him, and everything worked out. So if you could do it the second time, why couldn't you do it the first time? Why did you have to turn him away, and he cried like a baby? And the Rebbe said, because the first time, Itaka couldn't help him. Only the second time I could help him. The first time Itaka couldn't help him. Why not? The first time, he still was not keli. He was still not ready for the bracha. The problem still did not bother him enough. He was still not broken enough over the problem that if he would have had the bracha, it would have meant enough to break the problem. After he went away the first time, then he became completely subrochen, all broken up. He was crying like a baby. Only through that was he able to make himself ready for the bracha that he needed. So by the second time when he came back and he got the bracha, then it worked. It's kind of like that Rambam story, remember? The only tikkun, the only help for the man's eyes was real tears. Anything else wouldn't have helped. Only when he cried his eyes out, that was the refuah. Remember that story? Same thing over here. Only when the man was completely ready was he able to get the bracha. When he wasn't ready enough, of course the Rebbe could give a bracha. But the way it works, we have to be a keli, we have to be ready for the bracha. Like you want to make kiddush, you have the bottle of wine, of course the wine is there, but that's not enough to make kiddush. You need what? A becher. You need a cup, and the cup has to be a keli shel bracha. It has to be ready for the wine to be poured in. It has to be a becher that's ready.